हरिः
ॐ
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Okay, so now this was, there were four things, right? Four kinds of ornaments. Mm-hmm. Simile, so is it comparing to something similar, like the face and the moon, or the eyes and lotus. Okay, now we go into metaphor, right? Then condensed, dipaka, and alliteration, yamaka. Okay, metaphor. An image of slight likeness, which is conceived due to indecision from objects characterized by similar limbs, is called metaphor, rupaka. Example, lake women with their lotus faces, kamuda smiles, open and beautiful nilotpala eyes, and swans cackling around seem to call one another. Okay. Slight likeness, which is conceived due to indecision. What does that mean? Indecision from objects, characterized by similarities. Well, why would it be indecision? Because you've decided on that. I mean, it's not like you're going to say something else. You're not going to compare the lake women to cars or something. No?
Yes, it can be.
Hmm?
It can be, but I think not that I believe it. I appreciate
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So in other words, a metaphor and simile are quite similar. But here it's more about the form. Similar limbs. While the simile may be not so much limbs as, the kind of the mood or the flavor or color or something, like moonlight face, you know, kind of similar, the round and this kind of thing. But there's a aspect of likeness here also. You need more definition here. Condensed expression. Combining of words in different topics in a single sentence for their mutual illumination is called condensed expression, dipaka. Example. In that region, fullness was always affected by swans in the lake, by flowers in the trees, intoxicated bees in the lotuses, and by friendly groups of men and women in the gardens and park. So then you're showing the fullness compared to the different aspects. Means that this is what creates the fullness. So it's not exactly the same. Okay, so they're all basically the similar kind of thing, just that there's some slight aspect, slight difference to them. Yes?
It says that simile is using words to to compare things, and metaphor is the comparison itself.
Words to compare.
And the comparison itself is called metaphor. That's the only difference.
Like in simile, we use words like same as and like moon, like face. So we use the word like. In metaphors, that is missing. Like he was a lion in battle.
Oh, so you're not saying like. You're saying.
Okay. You're just saying he was a lion in battle.
Directly state a comparison. That is metaphor.
Hmm? Directly stated, yes. So that should come out here. That's good. Because otherwise, sometimes they use these funny things that to them make some sense, but actually makes no sense. Because due to indecision, what does that mean? What is that? It's obvious. Okay. So if you say he was a lion in battle, then that's a metaphor. If you say he was like a lion in battle, that's a simile. Oh, okay. Condensed expression. Then the it doesn't dipaka. That's all that they have is condensed expression in English. You don't have one for that, because this is then you're saying one thing is there because of these other things. It's such a nice place because of the, you know, all the features that are there. So its fullness or niceness or beauty or that is because of these other things. So there's some connection, some comparison, but yeah, okay. And then yamaka. Repetition of words in the beginning of the padas and the other places constitute yamaka. A place. A play. What is this?
Literally
poetic work.
Should, the same thing. Play or a poetic work. He wanted to use the literal meaning and then what meaning he gave us.
Why not just put a play or lit poetic work? Just leave out the technical. Should be composed by inducing these excellent points. Oh, that was yamaka, Zolfethi. Yeah, so then like you have the, in Gita, like you have yo-yo, yum-yum. You know, things like that. That's alliteration, where you just keep doing. So somehow or another, at least in English, in prose, teachers get very, at least in, you know, high school teachers and things like that, they get really grumpy when you use alliteration, because they consider it's, you know, just, even though, you know, you have to think about it to come up with it, but they just somehow or another they're grumpy about it. So, you know, if you do it, if it's done directly in a poetry, then it's all right, but in prose, they just don't like it. But that doesn't mean that that's standard. It just means that they're biased, you know. Because the point is with these, it's because of the alliteration, because of the expressions, metaphors, similes. That's why you remember things, you know.
And also, generally, the first thing you learn to write is a leave letter, or something which has to be very short. Like they don't want words extra. At least we learned like that.
Yeah, that's very short, mainly because they're the only ones. It means the class is very big, and there's only one of them, and they don't want to spend all night checking your work. You know, which is fair enough, because if you can't say it short, you don't know what you're talking about. But, yeah. Okay. A play or a poetic work should be composed by introducing these excellent points after considering their objects and functions. I shall speak hereafter about faults, dosha, in such works. Udriti. Srila Baladeva Vibhushan. An ornament, such as alliteration and simile, sometimes enhances the first-rate rasa dvandva by means of the body of the poetry. Like a bodily ornament, such as a pearl necklace, adorns the soul by adorning the body. An ornament may or may not assist the rasa directly. The example of assisting rasa is as follows. Right, so they're saying he's saying that these things they may enhance by through the poetry the things. It's not that they're directly rasa, but they enhance it. They create an environment in which it may be appreciated. Just like you decorate the body nicely, then it brings out the qualities of the living entity. Like that. Okay. Example of assisting rasa is as follows. When I think about him, being with my friends gives me pain like an enemy does. A cold breeze pains me as if it were fire, and moon rays torment me as if they were poison. By force, my heart again becomes attached to that merciless fellow in that way. Cupid is averse to girls whose eyes are like nocturnal lilies. He remains unbridled as long as he likes. Gita Govinda 7:40. Right, so it's bringing out the rasa, because it's not necessarily what's being said is directly serving. So being, because you see, it's all these things are giving an opposite of what they normally do, like that. But because there's a particular mood that's there, and separation and all that, then these things enhance that mood. They bring out that mood. So, that sense. This verse features the upamana ornament, simile. It enhances the rasa while ornamenting the overall meanings by bringing to light the attributes such as being with my friends gives me pain like an enemy does. Right, so he's using the simile there. But it assists in the rasa, because the rasa will be something of you know, disappointment or sorrow, like that, separation. Example of not assisting the rasa. In Mathura, Hari speaks about Radha. At this time, cruel because of the dance of peacocks, without me, her lover, she turns to shreds under the fierce arrows released from Cupid's bow. Must be a better way to say that. She turns to shreds. I mean, at least you could say she becomes shredded under the fierce arrows released by her. Or she's reduced to shreds under the fierce arrows released from Cupid. Try that. She's reduced to shreds. That's more poetic. Atrata varganu prasho virodhad rasam no pakaroti kintu shabdam eva. In this verse, the alliteration of the phonemes of the ta group do not assist. Oh, I see. That's why he uses ta, because he's using it. It's using the yamaka, right? At this time, cruel because of the dance of the peacocks, without her, me, her lover, she turns to shreds. Okay. Not assist the rasa, since those phonemes are adverse to the rasa. Rather, the alliteration only enhances the sounds. Sahitya Kaumudi, chapter 8. Right, so it makes it sound nice, but it doesn't increase the rasa. Mm-hmm. Like that. So you have to see as the one brings out the rasa, the other doesn't. So unless you know what is rasa, you can't actually tell. You know, and then you end up with eyes, you know, pinkish like the backside of a monkey. Yes. Verses 87 and 93, false, dosha, buddhriti. Dosha is defined in Sahitya Kaumudi by Srila Baladeva Vibhushan as follows. A literary fault is that which mars the main thing. The rasa is the main thing, and so is the literal meaning, since it is the foundation of the rasa. Sounds are words, and the phonemes, etc., are useful for both rasa and literal meaning. Therefore, a literary fault can occur in them. There are five kinds of faults, since a fault can occur in a word, padadosha. In part of a word, paramsha dosha, in a sentence, vyakya dosha, in the meaning, artha dosha, and in the rasa, rasa dosha. Sahitya Kaumudi, chapter 8. So just because you used your intelligence, you came up with some amazing stuff, doesn't mean it's right. See, in the modern, it's taken that if it's intelligent, then it's automatically right. But just because you're intelligent doesn't mean that it enhances the rasa. Otherwise, the husband's being very intelligent, and then when the wife comes along, she's not impressed. And then he can't figure out why. It was intelligent. But that was it. It was only intelligent. It wasn't clever. Yes. So, no taste. Faults in a play may be of 10 kinds, which are as follows. 1. Circumlocution. Gudarta, mentioning anything by means of a manufactured synonym, is to call circumlocution. Gudarta literally means hidden meaning. Any light to shred here? What is circumlocution mean?
It's said indirectness.
Okay, so it means that in the elocution you're circumambulating the actual point or something. Wow, circumlocution. So okay. So it's a fault only if you're supposed to bring out a direct meaning, but you're not. You're bringing out indirect, and it's not working.
Yes.
But it's not that someone wouldn't use an indirect meaning because that's what you want to do in the play. Like someone comes out and is talking about, Does that make sense? You know how you always like to do things for others and assist others, and yes, and you know, and how, you know, you always say is it doesn't matter what it is, you're willing to do something and get in there, and yeah, okay. You know, you can start to say, where is this going? You know, so that's indirectly use of something in that, so to bring out. But this mean, it must mean where you're trying to give a, you're trying to say something, but because of how you're expressing it, using all these kind of ornaments, that the actual meaning doesn't come out properly. It becomes hidden. You know, you're being intelligent and all the hidden meanings and, oh no, they'll find them and all that. No, you use great intelligence to hide them. Doesn't mean that they know what was the path you used. And so if they don't catch it, then it's like, nobody caught it. What's going on? Are they not intelligent? And how long did it take for you to write that line? You thought about it for how many days? Okay, and so how long did they have with it? They had, you know, 10 seconds with it, and you're saying they should understand it. Then the point is, if they didn't understand it in 10 seconds, then we say, you're saying that they're foolish or stupid or dull, but why did it take you days? You only gave them seconds, and you say they didn't work it out, then you're foolish. You took 3 days to work that out, so that means how much of an idiot you are. That in 3 days it took you to come up with that? You know? And in 10 seconds they didn't figure out and they're dumb? So how much more is it? It's just like saying someone did it in, you gave him 5 seconds to cook lunch and he couldn't do it, but you had 3 days and you couldn't cook lunch. Who's more stupid? Who's more foolish? Who's more incompetent? Right?
As it said before,
Maharaj. No bias towards playwrights here.
Yes. As it said before, that rasa is the main thing, and then the direct meaning is the foundation of rasa. So this right. one is directly opposing to the direct meaning.
Yes, but the point is, if you're bringing out an indirect aspect where rasa produces an indirect thing,
but still it has to assist something.
It has to assist the rasa. Like you saw before, is that it assisted the rasa.
Yes, yes.
By pointing out, by using that simile, it assists the rasa. But if you use a simile and it doesn't bring it out.
Yes. And also there should be something previously which is direct, based on which you are giving some indirect interpretation. Mm-hmm. Otherwise we just come and speak everything indirect and nobody understands.
Yeah.
Like, what is the rasa? Nothing is clear.
Yeah. That's called English Lit course. Yeah, they no experience, and they just say all these things and then expect you now to go out and write something fabulous. Right? Yeah. Okay. Those kind of details, though, you should put in. Two, superfluous expression. Artanartara. Oh, artantara. When anything not necessary is mentioned, it is a case of superfluous expression. Artantara. So, it's not necessary to say. It distracts from the actual point. Because if rasa is there and you say something else, and it's like, what's that got to do with it? And then it gets distracted off of there, so the rasa won't be tasted. Three, want of significance, artahina, an expression which is irrelevant or which remains incomplete is an instance of want of significance. Right, so then, whatever has been given, it's not relevant for the thing. Right? The other one is you said this and something else. It's not necessary. Why you say both? Just say what you need. But this one, what you say isn't relevant. You know, so it doesn't even get the point across. Or you've only said part of it. It doesn't completely explain. You know. Four, defective significance. Bhinartha, defective significance. Binartha includes an expression which is not refined or is worthy of a rustic. Oh, okay. Worthy of a rustic. That's a poetic way of saying it. Okay. When the intended sense is chained into another sense, it is also called defective significance. Okay. So what you're saying is not refined, it's, you know, unsophisticated. Like I say, it's just, you can say it's not refined or sophisticated. Okay. It's unrefined or whatever. It's like, okay. It's just not, the situation needs something that's more refined or something more sophisticated, but you're not using that. You're using something more gross. You know, a lot of times, like, men, when they talk to men, they may talk like that, but then when women come around, they may continue to talk like that. So it's against rasa. The women get upset and go away. You can see a conversation is going on, there's a mixed company, and men and women are there, and, you know, both are inputting in the conversation. Then something comes up, the men get into this kind of man talk. They get into something that they get right into, and you see the women at that time go off to do something else. They just very, you know, imperceptibly get off, you know, go up to go to the bathroom or this. And the men think, oh, they've gone through something, that, but they notice they don't come back. So what does that mean? That conversation was irrelevant. This defective significance. It might have meant something for their rasa, but not for the combined rasa of men and women. Right? Then intended sense is changed to another sense. So that would be also in logic called chala. You take one to the other. So unless that's. Generally, I think chala is where you take the other person's, but where you intend to say something, you use a different one, and then it can't be seen. But as Prabhu said before, if there's no direct thing before, then you have something that you can relate it to. You know. But in this case, it's a defect because what's being said, you've changed the meaning. You used a different synonym, but it doesn't connect to what the previous expressions. So now you can't tell what they're talking about.
And this can change the rasa.
Yes, yes, because then it's not continuing. The rasa is a flow of various experiences, you know, that have the words and what they're saying, the meaning of the words and all these things. And so then it goes through things. And so then you break it by this, and then it's like, where does it go? And so once the rasa is broken, then it goes into something else. Does that make sense? Yeah, because if you think rasa is going in a certain way and then it stops, then it has to go somewhere else. So it can go, but generally it'll be negative. It'll be either anger, you know, due to neglect. It'll be due to, insensitivity. Mm-hmm. You know, you thought something was there, it's not there. That insensitivity can also mean, well, maybe the relationship isn't what you thought. Mm-hmm. All kinds of things that can come. So in other words, there's a good chance that these 10 here are the exact things that men always get wrong and can't figure out what happened when they were talking with women.
Yes. We can stop here.
Yeah, I don't want to find out too much. Okay. I know there might be the possibility I'm wrong, but I am enjoying the ignorance. Yeah. Or, you know, in anything else. It can also be, let's say, it's a, you know, management thing and it's going and somebody comes up with it and changes into something else, or, you know, business, something. It's just, it can be applied, though, but it's not as, everyone there will just look at you and then it'll go back to what it was. Mm-hmm. But in here, then, because you're talking about the chivalry, and poetics especially are used in the Sringara. Yes, yes. So then you have to be very careful there. Yes. Tautology, ekarta. Tautology, ekarta, means indiscriminating use of many words for a single purpose. So you're using so many words for a single purpose. I think the tautology, another synonym would be corporate speak.
Yes.
Or political speak.
I was about to say verbose. Those who want to show it.
Yeah, know. Verbose. They can come out and say so many things like this, and it means absolutely nothing. But it sounds fabulous because they use the seemingly technical words and all that. Okay, tautology. Oh, man, I wonder if that comes from, because he's saying, you know, he's touting, you know, this, you know, that he's very intelligent. You know, because at least I don't know if they still use it, but they used to use the term.
Now we use more redundant.
Redundant. Yeah. Redundant would be, one of significance. Or superfluous expression, because
yes.
It's already been explained.
This is more to do with the word, that is more to do with the expression itself.
Okay.
Because the last one is using a vulgar word.
One of slang.
Slang. So, but the fourth one is, you may use proper words, but what you want to express, you express something else. Like somebody, they won't have a good intention to express something in Krishna consciousness, but they express completely materialistic.
Yeah. Okay, they mean to do. Defective significance. Is that what you said?
Yeah, the expression is not proper. So the words are proper or not is not...
Not the point. The expression is improper. Okay, and here specifically the words are...
Vulgar word, like... Slang word.
Yeah, that's 10.
Yeah, 10.
But this one, it means that you're just using so many words that can apply, but you use the what words actually say the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know. 6, want of synthesis. Adi Plutartha. When a sentence is completed within each pada of a verse, it is an instant of want of synthesis. Adi Plutartha. So in each pada it's complete, but then how do the padas connect together? So there's no synthesis. So you're saying nice things, and each thing is exact, but the continuity between what you're saying doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're not connecting everything together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like saying, today is Thursday morning. Lunch is somewhere around 1:20. There's a bit of fog and stuff like that, and I forgot to take out the trash. So each one's complete, but it doesn't have any. There's no synthesis. Okay, 7, logical defect. Nyaya, nyayada peta. Anything devoid of reasoning is an example of logical defect. Nyayada peta. Means it's just not logical. You're just saying all these things and there's no connection. You know, it may be due to so many of these other things that you're doing, but what you're expressing, you're not making the connections. You yourself probably aren't clear, or you're because if you are... Yeah. That could also be corporate speak. 8, metrical defect, vishama. Lapse in the metrical structure is called metrical defect, vishama. So in the verse, you're using a particular, like on a stoop, a particular one, but then you use something else. Or you don't use the pattern. It's there in 3 of them, but one of them it's not. But it's one thing if you use one kind of anustupa in the first and second, then a different anustupa in the third and fourth, or even a different thing. Or the same one in the first and third, and a different one in the second and fourth. But this means you're not following the pattern. Okay. 9, awkward phonetic combination. Visandhi. When words which should combine in sandhi are kept separate, it is an instance of visandhi. Yeah, it means it's hard to say because you don't put them together.
Meaning changes also. You keep it separate, then meaning changes.
Yes. Yeah, just like if it means this, it means it's changed the meaning. Like if it's like, I'm going to do this, or I am going to do this. You'd use it in different situations. No?
There the stress is.
Yeah, because the straight. So the I'm going to do this, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to do this, but I am going to do this. It means I'm going to do this. Or I'm going to do this, not you. I'm going to do this. The stress is there. So that's the thing, is that here is when you keep it separate. Let's say you're just saying, you know, okay, so what's everyone going to do today? Well, I'm gonna do that. I'm doing that like that. No, I am gonna. That wasn't the mood. The mood was light and play. You know, hey, you know, I'm doing this. What are you doing? Like that. Yeah. Intense slang, shabda chuta. Chuta means fallible. So fallible shabda, right? When a vulgar word is added, is an instance of slang, shabda chuta, right? So the vulgar word's not necessary. We just bring it in. And so we have one mood, and when that comes in, it throws the mood off. Huh. Okay. Verses 94 to 106, gunas. These are the faults of a poetical work, properly described by me. Gunas, merit, are their negation, and are characterized by sweetness and depth of meaning. Right. So if they have good qualities, then there's no defects. The defects means that lacks the good qualities, and so therefore the sweetness and the depth will be there. So you're trying to say things things that have significance, but in a very pleasant way. You know, so that's the whole point of poetry, is it's pleasantly stated, but it has significance. So many times you see is that very important, ways of thinking or attitudes or visions of things, many times to explain it would be hard. But if you quote a poetic phrase, then it makes it, then everybody understands, because it's sweet and it has depth of meaning. Does that make sense? Udriti, Srila Baladeva Vibhushan. A guna is a quality of the rasa, which is the predominant element in the composition. Like bravery is a quality of the soul. A guna is a cause of the eminence of the rasa, and always exists when there is a rasa. An ornament assists the rasa by coming in contact, samyoga, with the rasa, whereas a guna assists the rasa by being an integral part, samavaya, of the rasa. Sahitya Komedi, chapter 8. Right, so then the guna means the composition, it's directly saying something. Mm-hmm. So that's good qualities. It's in a poetic way saying things directly. And then ornaments, then they assist that. So that's where you use all the similes, metaphors, and that. They're ornaments. Yeah. So the rasa is being directly expressed nicely, and then these come in and assist that. But if the rasa is not being direct, then it has these 10 defects. So even if you use the nice similes, it won't there. Or use the similes, I mean, use these ornaments wrong, then you also have a problem.
Mm-hmm. I think the first two or three doshas are when you're using an ornament without having a guna. Then it's just an ornament without the...
Oh, okay.
Without the guna, then it becomes a burden.
Or even defective significance. Oh, it means it could be any of these.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah, but those specifically, yeah. Means you're saying something that's not directly using the ornament, but because of the indirect aspect of the ornament, you know, being compared to or these aspects, then the rasa doesn't come out because of its indirect aspect doesn't connect. But if it's nicely worked in that it directly takes part, then it assists. Because we see the gunas are directly connected. They're an integral part of the rasa. But the ornaments, then they can assist that. So that's why you see is that you have Radha and Krishna, that's direct. And then the Sakis and all that, then they assist in these things. So, but it's always in the context of what's going on between Radha and Krishna. Then it has meaning.
Yes.
Otherwise, if it's about something else, doing something else that's not related, then why would that happen? Yes?
I think in Nectar of Devotion we came across, like for parental rasa, no other comparison works. So you cannot compare like the parents, their rasa with children, with anybody. But with friends, okay, you can compare with somebody else and then it still works. In front of parents, neither the servants, anybody in any other rasa or any other people also, you cannot compare.
With the parental.
With the parental. I think that point was touched in somewhere when we were reading.
Yeah. Okay.
So then using a metaphor there will completely...
Yeah, because it's not like something else. Yeah, you couldn't say as... As Subala is, you know, so close and intimate with Krishna, then Mother Jashoda and Nanda Baba are also. You wouldn't do that.
Yes.
You can't compare. But you see sometimes the gopis, they'll compare with the cowherd boys. Just that they can be friends and open and all that, and the gopis can't. You know, they would like to be like that. But the parental is like, it wouldn't, yeah, that's interesting. It wouldn't match. Very far out. The ten gunas are, so these are, so there was the ten defects, and now it's the ten qualities, you know, like that. So these ten defects are specifically in connection with the ornaments, or just in general expression?
In general.
In general, okay. Ten gunas are coalescence, Slesha, union of words connected through meaning and meaning intended is called coalescence. So the what words you use, they actually do properly connect together and deliver the meaning that is wanted. Not like before as words are wrong or this or that. Two, clarity, prasada. Okay. Prasad is very clear. Let's see. Okay. So, is there prasad? We want to bring some clarity here. Okay. Where the unexpressed word or sense is comprehended through a use of easily understood words and sense, it is an instance of persecuity, prasada.
Clarity is, these are the words used in Sahitya Kaumudi. That fellow used this word, the translator.
No, it's all right there. Because then you know perspicuity and clarity are connected.
So,
yes, so the unexpressed word means clarity wasn't expressed, but through using perspicuity. No, perspicuity. Perspicuity. Cool.
People don't understand what is bhakti, but with prasad everything becomes clear.
Yes, yes. Prasad is there, everything's clear. Yeah, so something that's hard to express, so that is expressed through some simple words or things that people are familiar with. Sameness of style, samatha. When alankaras and gunas match and illuminate one another, it is called an instance of sameness of style, samatha. Crescendo and decrescendo, samadhi. Carefully condensation of meanings suggested by and derived from similes and other figures of speech is called samadhi. Like that. What was the condensation before? There was. Oh no, that's one of the condensed combining of words in different topics. So you're bringing together all these different topics together through various similarities and other things like that. So in other words, using the simile, but you're showing the one thing, but when you're showing more things, and then like that, you want to compare, then, you know, so it'd be, so condensed is like a group of similes.
Yes, yes.
A gaggle of similes? No, that wouldn't be.
Like we are using tautology as like we are using many words, but it's unneeded. But here, that many sentences might be there, then we are using together so that it's bringing out the meaning more.
More clear. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe clear, more like enhancing also.
Yes, yes. Okay, sweetness. Madhurya. When a sentence heard or uttered many times does not tire or disgust anyone, is an instance of sweetness, madhurya. So that's another point, is that it's something that you can hear again and again. So like you just see, it's like, let's say there's some story, and it's one, a story is a nice story, but it's not something you'd ever want to hear again. But there's stories that you can hear it again and again and again. So that's that madhurya aspect. It's been pleasantly said, you can always hear it. Vigor, ojas. If a composition otherwise censured and deficient in quality reflects an exalted sense through its words and is rich in sound and sense, it becomes an instance of vigor, ojas. Okay. So is that just meaning like something strongly said, even though the words used are not necessarily... means just the power in which it's said brings about the understanding and the flavor.
Emphasis, like when somebody, senior person, or when the something, it said from the akash, from the cloud, some voice is coming, then by the way it is spoken, then it adds the power.
Okay. Like telling Kamsa that the eighth child, you fool, you know, like that. Yeah. Okay, soft mist. Saukumarya. When a composition consists of words easy to pronounce, euphonically combined, and giving agreeable impression, even when treating some unpleasant topic, it is an instance of softness. Saukumarya. Easy to pronounce, euphonically combined, and giving agreeable impression. Yeah, it means you're talking about something that is not necessarily pleasant, but you say it in a very nice way. And that it gives a good impression. That somebody, okay, yeah, they have to think about it. So that's the... So this is one of the qualities that is natural for the women to be able to use. Like that. 8. Directness of expression. Artha vyakti. When the meaning of a composition can be grasped by the penetrating mind just after its recital, it is an instance of directness of expression, arta vyakti. So after it's stated, you understand what they're talking about. So that's directness. You know, you don't have to wait, you know, till halfway through to figure out what's going on, and then only maybe, so you're not sure. Dexterity, udara. When the composition includes witty and graceful words, having many special senses, which are marvelous, it is an instance of dexterity, udarata. Udarata. Oh, so udarata. Okay. So the words, they're witty, they're clever. Right, that they're pleasant words, but they also have more meanings to than just what's said. But all those bring out different aspects of it. So here it's that bringing out all these different aspects, it increases it. While the previous one we saw, the fault was is that using these other meanings and it doesn't bring out the actual meaning. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because sometimes you see that. That's also sometimes expressions that are regularly used as quotations. You know, is that something that it says something very dramatic or dynamic, you know, very simply, very pleasantly, like that. So that makes sense. Yeah. Elegance. Kanti. When a composition gives delight to the ears as well as to the mind on account of its well put together words, it is an instance of elegance, kanti. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's.
So now this 10 guna, they are assisting the rasa.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so the ornaments then they connect with this. So if these are defective, then it won't work.
Yes.
Even though you may not use these properly, but you've done your ornamentation is very nice, it still won't matter.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So unless it adds to the thing.
Is why in a human society when we don't have some we can say type of good relationship with some people means we try to use or not to use this type of thing.
Yes, yes.
This can make a closer relationship means develop the relationship of finisher.
Yes, yes. Can be a problem, just like using slang. You don't need to use it, or you don't have to say all these extra things. You know, it's just like, let's say, the person who's talking on one subject and keeps going off on other subjects because, in other words, this annoys them, but so do these other three things.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they all come up in the thing. Mm-hmm. It's dealing with the same mood, the same rasa, but they're unimportant because the rasa is being applied in this one sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so then one avoids that and keeps it on the subject. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Udriti, Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan's illustration on gunas in poetry. Madhurya, sweetness, means delightfulness. In Sambhoga Sringara Ras, it is the cause of the melting of the heart. In Karuna Ras, in Viparlamba Sringara Ras, and in Shanta Ras as well, Madhurya has intensity. Has intensity or adds intensity or... Oh no, it's in these it has intensity. Okay, so in the Sringar Sambhoga, but also in Viparlamba, in Karuna and Shanta, then there's that I say it has its fullness.
Okay.
By means of blazingness, ojas, vigor is the cause of expansion of the mind. It is present in Vira Rasa. Its preponderance is sequentially more important in Vibhatsa Rasa and in Raudra Rasa. Okay. Yes, yeah, so some of the vigor. Composition otherwise censured and deficient in quality reflects an exalted sense. You know, so you're talking about how, you know, how you say, Krishna is saying that, you know, today, then, you know, the I think because may have called Krishna a snake or something because he's taken inappropriately taken the the symbols of Vishnu that belong to Paundrika and is using them without authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like a snake. And so then Krishna says, yes, like a snake. This black snake Krishna today will swallow up the frog, you know, like that. So,
yes.
You know, that's the vigor, the ojas.
Yes.
You know, it's not necessarily, you wouldn't say that as a normal thing, you
yes.
know. So it doesn't bring out these other rasas, but it works very well for chastising in the, what do you call it? Virodhata. You know, he's showing that vigor, that anger, and things like that. It's something wrong, you know. Krishna comes to destroy the demons. That aspect. Yes.
Also, the pastime where somebody comes to Krishna and the messenger says that Yudhishthir Maharaj took a vow not to go against the seniors in order to stop the war.
Mm.
Then Krishna says a sentence that so Yudhishthir has already decided that the war should happen. And he gives a smile. But everybody present there, though Krishna is smiling, it's like shaken everyone's heart, the smile of Krishna.
Mm.
It's with the sentence what he said. And he's mentioning something which is very going to have a grave sea consequence of because of this.
Yes, yes. Because otherwise, at the time, then he wouldn't have followed the elders because they were wrong. Because it means it's only Dhritarashtra. Because Vidura and Drona and Bhishma, Kripa, they didn't want him to do this. But because Dhritarashtra is the king, so he's the senior of them, so he followed that. So if he hadn't just said, no, we're not taking part in this. And then if Duryodhana, they would have walked out. Mm-hmm. And Duryodhana would have been upset. But whatever it is, then, you know, even if it is, you know, Bhima and Arjuna are ready. Or even if all this happened and they came to the point where he went along with it, they came to the point where they saw, no, this is not friendly. This is just harassing. And they say, we're stopping here. And then if Duryodhana had made anything this and that, then Bhima would have just, you know, hit him with his club. Right? Because his weapons and all that were lost later. You know, like that. So, or even if they were lost, they're just sitting there, you know. Or with Draupadi, then he would have at that time killed him. So there wouldn't have been a war. So by him saying, no, I'm following the elders are going to take everything away, and the elders aren't going to give everything back. That means war. Because Yudhishthira himself says that if we go back and they don't give back, then there'll be war. It's not that at that point, then he's going to just follow. Because it was his religious duty to follow before, because he's challenged in all this. But this, they're behaving unjustly. So now, as a king, he has to correct that injustice. So then, that's interesting. Krishna's already, so he's already decided on war. Right? Because there's so many other ways to go about it. Because you first start off with conciliation, you know, and all these other aspects. But no, he's decided on war. Because Yudhishthira is sure they're not going to capitulate. They're not going to compromise. They're not going to give their kingdom back. So there will be war. He says that right at the beginning. Okay. Prasada, clarity, is the guna which is ordained everywhere. It immediately pervades the mind. Like fire spreads through dry wood, and like clear water spreads through some other thing. Which is ordained. Where is clarity? Yeah. Some of the 10 gunas are included in the 3. Some others are simply the absence of a fault. And some others partake of faultiness. So basically he's saying that these 3 are the main 3. Like that. And then others are parts of this, you know, varieties of this. And others are just, they don't have the fault, you know, any of the 10 faults, because something without that fault then would take on this particular quality. But it's not necessarily that it's a positive, it's just a neutral quality. So it's either a secondary aspect of these 3, or it's a neutral thing in support in supporting so that they can take part. Or others sometimes partake of faultiness. And sometimes these ones, if not done properly, even though, you know, it's a delight on the ears and all that, but it's not clear, then it would be inappropriate.
Also, yes. He mentions they represent Ladini, Samvit, and Sandini. I missed that point.
Oh, okay. No, you should put that in.
Yeah.
So it's just,
it was in the beginning, in the introduction verse, that was.
So then put that in, or even start the whole thing with that, or put that in here,
yes, in the beginning.
Or put that as a footnote to this.
Mm-hmm.
Now these 3? Okay. Okay. Okay, so in Madhurya, blazing, and prasada, pervades the mind, like that. So then it would be, Madhurya would be the Ladini. Ojas would be the Samvit, and the Prashada would be the Sandini. That also means also the Jnana, right? You know, and the vigor, the activity, right? And then Madhurya is the taste. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So then that's the basis of that. So this also could be brought up before.
And then Saraswati Devi, she functions with these three. That's why any art should have this.
These three to it. Yeah.
Sahitya.
Yes. Okay. That makes sense.
Descending process. Right?
Yes, yes. So that's the so the sense. The point is about the audience experiencing rasa that will elevate them. Then this is the technique that means. Then this is the presentation. Presentation should have these three qualities. Like that.
Yes. Lord Brahma works with more of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and then concert. She works on these three aspects.
So again, I didn't.
Lord Brahma works with goodness, passion, ignorance. Those are the three aspects, and then Saraswati works with these three aspects.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's how he introduces these three points.
Okay.
In the beginning.
Okay. Nice. Some of the ten gunas, okay, are included in the three. Some others are simply the absence of a fault. Some others partake of faultiness. So, therefore, these three. These are the base of this gunas, so a lack of them, there's 10 ways you can lack, that'll be the 10 faults.
Yes.
And then ways that are various details of that, then that'll be the 10 gunas. But actually all that's what you're trying to obtain is these three. These three are there properly, you know, then that's correct.
Yes.
So, the explanation is as follows. Slesha, coalescence of words, which is the fact that the words appear to be one long compound owing to the excellence of the phonetic combinations. Samadhi, crescendo and decrescendo, whose nature is a heightening effect and a lowering effect. Right? You bring the rasa up nicely, you bring it down nicely into the next. Like you're taking the rasa and bringing it to its crescendo, to its fullness, or you're taking it from that crescendo and taking it down into the next rasa. Like that. Udarata, dexterity, which is a body of formidable literary construction. Right, how they can move through all these things so easily. And prasada, which is the form of saitilya. The words are spaced out and short compounds are allowed. Mixed with ojas. Harsh phonetic combinations and long commas are included in our ojas, vigor. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then you'll have the you can have the simplicity of prasada, but it'll be how you say presented with ojas. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because generally that vigor then will be like you have just the prasada itself, then that will be just pleasantness. But then when that pleasantness has that strong element, that'll become ojas. Because the point is you're building one on the other. But then the experience that you get from that, then that has the sweetness, the delightfulness, and that should be the maturya. So even these are used, it should end up creating that.
Yes.
You know, it should have a proper understanding. You know, you see there, you see, you appreciate the things, so it gives that proper, you know, it's just like, let's say, the prince comes and, or let's see, where is that? You know, or Arjuna. How you say? Who's that guy? Who was the one who stopped? He stopped. Subhadra's son. Yeah, but who stopped him?
Yeah.
Something with a D. You know, and then Arjuna went after him and killed him.
Jayadratha.
So one time before, they were in the forest, and they were off doing something. Draupadi was there. He came along and then kidnapped her. So then they came. So they'll say all kinds of really strong, harsh things that are very exactly clear and all that. And that, and then, but the whole point is then it enhances that mood of relationship that they have with their wife. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.